There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello. Testing, testing.
Hey, guys.
Come on. Bring it in.
Clap your hands now.
I'm Gregory Porter. Welcome to The Hang.
Watch what happens when the people catch wind of the water hitting.
In every artist, there's a cleverness.
Liquid spirit.
A genius, a je ne sais quoi.
That's what I needed, to be very focused on what I wanted to say.
To climb into that and figure out and have a better understanding of what that is what I like to do.
Music people, movie people, two words that don't really connect, yeah. And that's what I like.
This week, we have my good friend, Charlotte Gainsbourg.
I had my little girl who's...
That's your little girl?
Yeah, at the time she was 6. And I feel really stupid that I didn't dare ask my mother. And I should have.
And so here is The Hang. Let's do it. Come on. Hello, this is Gregory Porter, and this is The Hang. And we're so honored to be with Charlotte Gainsbourg. Do I say it the proper way?
Gainsbourg, if you want to pronounce
Gainsbourg?
It the French way. But the real way is the Russian name, which was Ginsburg.
Oh.
And then my father changed it to Gainsbourg because no French person would say it the proper way. They would say Gainsbourg, and it was not.
Gainsbourg,
so
right.
So you changed it to Gainsbourg.
Okay, beautiful. Well, I love it all. Gainsbourg or Ginsburg, I'll take them both. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Talking to me on The Hang. And we are at Chateau Marmont in Los Angeles, California. And the noise you hear is the crisp wind blowing past us, and the birds are in the trees, and those are cars passing by on Sunset Boulevard. But we are here enjoying cocktails and coffee and talking about music and love and expression. And tell us about this place. Have you been to Chateau Marmont many times? Or?
Many, many times. And it's, I don't know what it represents for people actually living here, but for me as a tourist, when I didn't especially like or enjoy Los Angeles at the time, 30 years ago, coming here was just such a revelation of what the best hotel could be.
Yeah.
With a lot of history. You could feel the Hollywood era. For us, it was just incredible to be in those rooms that at the time hadn't changed at all, with those kitchens.
And right.
It was just wonderful. And today I feel that they did manage to keep that that feeling.
Yeah.
It's, of course, it's much chicer and it's become a posh hotel, but there's still a real feel to it that I love.
Yeah.
Even the fact that you can open your windows.
Yeah, I know,
yeah,
you can't
America,
do that anymore. It's a thing, you know.
Yeah.
No, but how many years would you say you've been coming in?
Oh, so if I've been with Yvonne for 28 years, I believe 27,
wow.
Maybe 27 years ago was our first time here.
Wow, amazing.
Yep.
You're in California for what?
For Coachella, that I started last Friday,
yeah.
And again this Friday. And in between, I was able to do San Francisco and today Los Angeles.
Wow, you have a show tonight?
Yeah, tonight.
And you're here with me? Oh, wow. Thank you. I really appreciate
no,
that.
It's not.
Yeah, how was Coachella?
It was big. The way it should be. even though I was on a small stage, but still it felt very big, very not that wild, but for me quite over the top.
Yeah.
But that was part
Tell
of the
truth.
Fun.
Tell the truth
that
on
was,
it.
That was part of the fun.
Yeah.
So, no, I was lucky because it was nighttime, and so I could put on my lights and not be, you know, not full daylight. So that was quite nice. And then, but then when you know who you're singing along with, it's a little, it seems... quite unreal.
Yeah.
But it was fun. I'm still crossing my fingers for next Friday.
Uh-huh.
It's not finished.
You know, I think probably one of the kings of festivals is Glastonbury, and probably in a similar way. There's everybody is there. There's really big names and it's unique for me the British music festival, the music festival goer, is a serious music animal. And I think they're hardcore music people because they go through anything. They're willing to go through anything for the music in terms of weather, in terms of...
Yeah, that's true.
In terms of not bathing for a week, you know.
Yeah, this Coachella was very fancy in the sense that people really dress up and and take pictures of themselves, and that's part of the show.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is the thing when I go to the Grammys, I want to see the big egos and the big, you know, it's part of it. I probably will take some of it and bring it back and find a way to put it in my music some kind of way.
Yeah.
You know, I was
no, but what I was quite amazed, and sometimes I don't realize this enough, is that how people just want to have fun and to see the people on stage having fun, not taking themselves too seriously, even though the show, and as big as it can be, is you have to take yourself seriously, but part of the trick I find, and I'm not yet there, is to be quite free about the whole thing, and the idea of having fun is for me the main goal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is, you know, this is the magic of music. It's the backdrop and the background of our life, and the festival music and the people who come to festivals, especially destinational festivals. They've worked hard to get there.
Yeah.
They've taken off work. They've bought the right clothes. They've, you know, they've sometimes climbed up rocks to get there.
Mm.
And so it's a special, they're a special group. They're a special crowd. They're different from the regular concert goers.
And also from other parts of the world, because I've been doing quite a few festivals last summer in Europe. And the crowd is so different. In Barcelona, we started there, and it was very generous, very warm. And then you go to some place in... Where did we go that was so surprisingly welcoming? Was in Norway.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very surprising.
Isn't
the crowds are really surprising. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I'm always amazed at the grace that... that music can bring before an artist comes, you know. It's
like, yeah, because when you're not, headliners, you do realize that people are not here for you. So it's quite gratifying when you see that they're staying, you know, that they come and they stay.
Yeah.
But you have to, you become very humble, you know, because that you have other people that are, of course, huge. Close to you, and it's very humbling.
Yeah, your career has been, you know, quite long in terms of expressing yourself artistically. What do you think is more you? What's more easy or difficult? Or,
but you mean between what?
The artistic expressions of music,
cinema,
and acting.
I think I don't know if it's more, it's never me. I feel that I'm always hiding behind something. So whereas it's more obvious with films that you're behind a character, it's somebody else's words, but the emotions are yours, and it's a way of showing yourself. But it's true that someone else is in command, and I very much feel like I'm the tool of someone, mm-hmm. which I like. I like to be used, and I like to be manipulated. With the music, it's the exact opposite. Yes, with music, I feel that it's more about my world, my words. Now, only now, because before I asked other artists to write for me. So it's only with that last album that I was able to express myself a bit, I mean, in a even more personal way. So I find that music is much more personal, but at the same time, I'm using, for instance, Sebastian's music on my last album to hide behind something that's very over-the-top, dramatic, violent, with words that are quite emotional. And to have that balance is a way of hiding yourself again. Mm-hmm. So it's different ways of expression. I don't feel that I would like to let go of any of those two. And I'm happy to go from one to another because they're so different. Even the people behind the work are so different. They never mix, which is weird. Music mm-hmm. people don't really know movie people. it's a weird, two words that don't really connect. Yeah. And that's what I like. Yeah. I love being, also having a different persona when I'm entering a film or going in a music studio. I feel very different.
Okay, yeah. Singing your own lyric, have you found that you can be completely honest? And
yes.
is it a representation of yourself? You said so, but I'm sometimes I struggle with this. Sometimes I'll write something and it'll be good, but I was like, ooh, that's too much. That's too revealing or telling too much of the truth. Or somebody will know who I'm talking about. Tell me how brave you
are.
Well,
I had to be very sincere and very honest with what I wanted to talk about and the words I was using. Because I didn't feel like a poet myself or a lyric writer, I had to... The only way it was justified and I felt legitimate was to be as true to myself as I could. So there was no censor or, you know, I didn't try to stop myself from revealing stuff. On the contrary. But then I realized that with the French, I was able to be very close to my emotions. And with the English, which I used in choruses or sometimes the whole songs were in English, but it was easier to have a distance with the English, because it's not my first language. It felt a little fake. Mm-hmm. And that was very useful because I could play more with the music and be less dramatic, less heavy.
Uh-huh.
And it's also, it brings a rhythm that's much more, I can't really say that I have the dexterity to use the English in a proper way, but I felt that it was much easier to play with words than with the French.
Do you feel like it's because the French audience may know you more or because you live in Paris?
Well, for ages and ages, I couldn't write because of my father, because his lyrics are so beautiful and it's what I've been brought up with. It's my whole... my whole culture is made of his songs, his lyrics, his words, his aesthetics,
yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
So when I was living in France, I couldn't put myself through that comparison. I couldn't. It was too heavy. So I avoided the French, and I asked Beck if he would write songs, and I love his way of writing. So it was, I felt really blessed to be able to work. The lyrics and the music were his.
Yeah.
As soon as I left France 5 years ago, it became obvious that I wanted to write, and that the French would not be as problematic as when I was living in France, because no one was judging me.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm my worst judge, but I felt that in New York, nobody cared really, and I could just try.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's something about location that can bring about a particular freedom. I'm kind of going through this right now. I'm working on my next record, and I want to go to Paris by myself.
Yeah.
And it's something about being in this environment. This is the soil of you know, the chanson, the musical expression to to bare your heart. Mm-hmm. I love to equate it to the blues, but there's something about the French audience for me. They're most attracted to my most revealing songs, the intimate songs where they can really tell it's my masculine vulnerability that I'm serving on a plate.
Right, right.
They like that the most.
Yeah.
And they love it when I'm sweating and maybe a little nervous to sing it, you know?
Yeah.
the humanity
yeah.
in it.
Yeah.
And so I kind of wanted to put myself in that environment to do it. It's difficult for me to explain that to my wife. It's like, I just want to go to Paris by myself for, yes. for a week, a couple of weeks, and see what happens, you know? But, you tell her before we leave, tell her, Gregory needs to do this.
No, but it's true that I didn't feel that I was using New York or using that environment at all, but I was using the isolation. Okay. That's what I needed, was to be away from France in a place I didn't really know,
yeah.
with my family in the daytime, but at night I could just be very focused on what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Hey guys, you're listening to The Hang. Hit subscribe or follow on your podcast thingamajig of choice to get every episode of The Hang fresh off the presses.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I was talking to Kamasi Washington. He's a great jazz saxophonist. And he was talking about the need for his separation and isolation in order to find out what it is he wants to say.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, that I'm, this is very important for me. I tend to write in isolation, in motion, in a car.
Yeah.
On the train, on the plane. So much of my, of Liquid Spirit, my most successful record was written in France
on the trains in France, going one city to another.
I can totally get that.
Yeah, and it's something about moving past static objects that make me think of the past and the future and the present, and really, quite frankly, how I feel about all of it. And so, whatever that is. But yeah, I wanted to talk about the visuals for and the song "Deadly Valentine." Talk about that for me.
Well, once I had the record ready, it took ages. It took 4 years to really get to the end. I had an extra year before the album would be released to suddenly get into visuals. I hadn't thought about any of it. And I asked a director I love, Lars von Trier, if he would direct my first video, which wasn't Deadly Valentine, which was the song called Rest. And he said no. He said he was busy. But he said, you have to do it yourself, and I'll give you the tools, and just do as I tell you. And it was it was great.
Dope. Because that's dope.
It was like a dogma. I had to follow the rules with my own ideas, but his rules. And it was great because I didn't think about... I wasn't intimidated. Whereas if I had done my first video, I would have thought, do I have the tools to be a director?
Yeah.
That time, I didn't think about any of it. Also, it was getting a lot of footage of films that I loved. So it wasn't really directing. Anyway, after I did that first video, I felt completely free to do the rest. And so I thought I had different ideas for different songs. I didn't know if those were going to be the singles, but I wanted to do, I think in the end I did five or six, I can't remember. And Deadly Valentine was maybe the third one I shot. I also shot them all mixed at the same time, but for Deadly, I had a very precise idea of this couple getting old, and I wanted it in motion. I wanted to start with little kids already being a couple and getting older and older, and like a race to death, I guess.
Yeah.
But the fact that they were an aging couple was, for me, very moving. And then I saw, of course, I had everyone I needed at home. I had my little girl who's...
That's your little girl.
Yeah, at the time she was 6. My older daughter was 14. And I had me. And I feel really stupid that I didn't dare ask my mother. And I should have, because it's not to be rude... you know, against the lady who played me old, but she was lovely. But it would have made more sense, of course, to have asked my mother. But
yeah.
Because it was running, and I don't know, I didn't want to bother her. So, and then I was friends with Devines from Blood Orange, and so I thought it would be a great, couple.
Yeah,
and so. From him, I went to the little one and found, a little one, a teenager, and an older man.
Yeah. Were you thinking in your direction and your choices of your partner, were you thinking with your French mind? Were you thinking with your European mind? Were you thinking with your...
with just a very true attraction, not trying to... put any message behind. I couldn't do it with my own partner because that would have been too revealing. So it had to be fake. Also, Dev is such a great dancer. I wanted to put some kind of dancing in it, and this backward dancing felt like fun. So, yeah, I was really lucky that he came. And but no, there were no real thoughts behind, you know, what does that couple mean?
Right, which goes to even the lyric. But any lyric that you write, sometimes you write a lyric and the profundity of the lyric, the message in the lyric, the metaphors, all of a sudden change for whoever is listening to it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now, the idea or the shock or controversy or interestingness of you being with a black man, it's not shocking in our world. We're artists, we're open people. It's not a thing, right? In the a young black boy and a teenage girl is not a shocking thing for us.
Yeah.
But there are places and there are people where it's a thing that, okay, what are they trying to say? What are they trying to do?
Oh, sure. But coming from France, we don't really have that.
That's where I was with you when I But looking at it from my American eyes, I was like, this is what this video is about.
Uh-huh.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
And but then thinking of it from European or French eyes, not at all. I was like,
no. Yeah,
this is just a regular thing.
But I knew that it could be a subject, of course, but it didn't. I didn't want it to mean much, you know. I wanted it to be completely natural. That was the message, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I love about it. That's what I love about it. And I imagine there is, it can be provocative. A 6-year-old with a wedding veil as well, but it's so clever that you kept it throughout the visuals, and I loved it.
But it was coming from a very personal thing that, in fact, yesterday, we're not married, but I've been together with my partner for 28 years. Yesterday was our 28th anniversary.
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah,
so the idea of spending a whole life with someone just means a lot. So it came from a very private place.
Yeah, that's what I was going to... That was my next question, is having the confidence as an artist to make the personal universal. Do you do it? Do you like to do it in secret?
I find that very tricky because I feel really selfish when I make the last album. I was alone with Sebastian who did the music for 4 years, going through all these steps of making the album. It was really between us. And thinking about the lyrics, there was never any concern of pleasing anyone or trying to deliver a message that would be universal. So it was making it in a very, very selfish way, but in the end, of course, hoping that it would touch people. But I couldn't think about that while I was making it. Because then I find myself completely fake.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work for me.
But don't you think, like, it's a wonderful thing that happens and that you discover in that this personal expression finds its way to, you know, why do we think that we're each individual aliens? Your personal experience is that of thousands, even millions.
But it's surprising.
It's surprising.
Really
shocking
surprising,
every
yeah.
time. That people see themselves in something that I'm going through or that I feel or that I express. That's a wonderful thing. It's humanizing.
It's beautiful because I was going through grief and I didn't really think. A lot of people afterwards asked me if it was therapeutic, if I had done it in that with that objective, and not at all. And it didn't. I didn't feel better because I wrote those songs. But other people now are saying, "Oh, I've been through grief myself, and how your album has made me feel so much better," or, you know, "I've been listening to it." And it accompanies people in those kind of tragedies, because that was the case. And it's so touching for me, because I never imagined that I could get as close to someone as that, because grief is something that's really under your skin.
Yeah.
Very personal.
Very personal. Yeah. Yeah. These personal things in our life that come out in the music. I think for me, it's my therapy.
Yeah.
It's my therapy. I've got to do it that way. And it just, you know, maybe, you know, it's not a thing to tell the record company, but I would do it for free. But, you know, but pay me for it.
But, yeah. But I do admire artists that can address big causes. You know, I can't do that yet. Maybe one day I'll be able to. But I'm still looking at my own, you know, my own little self. And I can't yet, address a big message.
You think you're not. But the power of your femininity, even just in this one little video, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
You, whether it was your intention or not, this is something that happens. Once we release that dove, it does what it wants to do.
Mm-mm.
And for me, I was almost weepy. I was like, that's what I'm talking about. The regularness of just running like a goofy teenager,
yeah,
and it being not a big deal. To this day, I take my wife somewhere, they check to see if my wife is okay and make sure that I'm not doing something to her. I take her to a restaurant because she had, you know, and she comes from Russia. She hasn't experienced a lot of, you know, things in the little small town she was from. And they refer to her and not to me. You know, I'm just.
And do you find a complete freedom when you go to Paris, when you go to France?
More.
Yeah?
More freedom, yeah. There's a lot of complexity in the world right now because of terrorist attacks, because of, you know, the world is in a strange place politically. We don't have to turn this interview totally political, but I think because of things that have happened in France and in the United States, there's a difficulty in the air, and we have to find our way through it. But for me, there is I do decompress when I come to Paris,
to Europe.
To Europe. I do. Mm-hmm. I do decompress.
And I wanted to ask, when you said you wrote in trains and cars, do you write lyrics or music too?
For me, the funny thing is the lyric and the melody come to me at the same time. I don't know if it's
my dream.
I don't know if it's the urgency of because you know, I can scat all day long. You know, I can come up with a melody. I don't know if it's the urgency of my brain saying, oh, I need a melody for that. And then, boom, I assign it right at the spot because I'm an improviser. I don't know if it's that, or I don't know if it's in the subconscious, it's working itself together. But there's some of my songs, Be Good, Take Me to the Alley, Painted on Canvas, Liquid Spirit, they come out just
together,
the way I said them the very first time. The very first time they came to my head. It's on the record that way.
Uh-huh.
And I like that my brain does that. Is it different for you, or?
Complete. Well, I don't write the music. I wish I could, but each time I had the lyrics before the music, it was a struggle to squish them in. And it was much easier when Sebastian gave me the music first, and right. I could try and
you have your parameters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it became writing. Quite obsessive. I love that.
Yeah, I like writing in that way as well. Mm. Then it becomes like a bit of a puzzle, and you fit.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. A charming artistic puzzle in a way. Mm. Yeah, I like that as well. But sometimes the bars and the chords can't contain the thought. Wow, can I? Somebody recording that? Sometimes the bars and the chords cannot contain the thought of this love. I give you 10%, girl, all right?
Thanks.
Yeah. So we both know this maniac called beautiful, beautiful soul, Jeff Goldblum. Can you tell me how you have met him?
I met him doing a film
before
Independence Day.
Independence Day, yeah.
Independence Day, but
oh, that little thing.
Yeah.
Huh?
And he was such fun on the set. Well, we had to wait quite a lot. He was just singing and dancing and making me listen to new tracks here and there. So he was a lot of fun. And then I saw him perform here.
Yeah.
And he said he couldn't come tonight because he had his own gig.
Yeah,
he did. But we do correspond a lot through text messages, but it's very, very warm. And he's a person I love. Yeah. I don't know him that much.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's so warm and welcoming and
quite
fun.
Open, isn't he?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, beautiful person. Beautiful,
beautiful
soul.
Person, yeah.
Well, yeah, I think Jeff kind of pulled back the curtains for me on our first meeting because he rushed rushed up to me and got about 6 inches from my face.
Yeah.
And told me who I was musically.
Really?
He said, "You are your mother. You are history. You are. This is what I hear in you, Gregory." You
know. I can hear.
And then that, you know, that low tone that he has in his voice. You know, it was almost trembling me. I was like, "Ooh, go ahead, Daddy." You know. But
when did you meet? A long time ago.
No, it's just been maybe 5 years ago. Maybe, yeah. But we've had different occasions, and I get the Graham Norton show and a couple of other musical meetings.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very cool. Very cool.
I'll tell him that we've spoke.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be great. Well, wonderful.
Thanks
Thank
a
you.
Lot.
Yeah, and I hope you have a. I know you're in between performances.
Yes.
And I hope you have a wonderful performance tonight.
Thank you.
And the lights and the soulful expressions, you know. You got a couple of beats in some of your music I might have to steal and put into my thing.
Please do.
But yeah, really, really wonderful to talk to you.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Pleasure.
So there it is. Don't forget, you can listen to The Hang on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or the podcast thingamajig of your choice, and get every episode of The Hang fresh off the presses.
Clap your hands now.
This is Gregory Porter. Thank you so much for joining me. You've been listening to The Hang, a Cup and Nuzzle production. Come on, bring it in.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.